Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Here's what's clear. This is a full-blown Mitchell Trubisky reclamation project. And when they say get better around him, when they said, what is he good at? He can process. He's accurate. If that's really how he sees Mitchell Trubisky.
And what all the coaches that they hired also saw in Mitchell Trubisky, then yeah, you are relining the walls with everything that reinforces Mitch.
This is after Matt Nagy said that he has to become a master of recognizing coverages. And he said, well, he can process. He's accurate. What I'd like to know still from him, this commitment, this obvious continuing ongoing commitment to Mitchell Trubisky to the point where you're still comping him to Drew Brees.
Right.
You've already put a self-imposed limit on this supposed competition you're going to have because no quarterback who's actually feeling he wants to be competitive for a starting spot is going to be able to overcome your love for Trubisky. Don't lie to me about competition.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. We are going to talk to Mike Florio at 10 o'clock. We're going to do the Midday Midway. We didn't do it yesterday,
no,
so
we're
backed up. We got a ton of stories to get to for the Midday Midway at 10:40. All kinds of baseball stuff and basketball things to get to as well. There's a lot going on, and we're not going to miss any of it. And the giveaways that we have, a pair of tickets to see Black Keys, Gary Clark Jr. and the Marcus Kings Band, July 25th, and a pair of tickets to see Steve Martin and Martin Short at the Huntington Bank Pavilion on September 12th. All that for lucky listeners. 312-644-6767. That's the number at WSCR, The Score. You can email us at BernsteinandMcKnight@670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. We have a text zone brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at RosenHyundai.com. When you text to 67011, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. You must download the Radio.com app.
So, because I know where we're headed in the first hour, let's just say this up front. Go get it, Coby White. Go get it. That's fun. There's nothing wrong with that. I've enjoyed it. Now, let's tee up the bowl, shall we?
Yeah, but you have to win the game that Coby White scores 30-something and Zach LaVine scores 40.
Of course you do.
At home, you got to kind of like get a stop.
Yeah, a stop would be fine.
You know, win that. When you download the radio.com app, you may stream the score on your mobile devices. You can also video stream the show. Hello, hello, hello.
Hi.
Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. You can also get the video feed if it interests you at 670thescore.com. It just pops right up. Jay Zawoski is our producer. Rick Camp, the guy on the board, the executioner, Ray Diaz, in the back doing what he does. Yeah, the Bulls game was all sorts of popcorn and empty calories, as it has been.
And as it will be.
And as it probably will be. But, you know, they're sort of just, you know, running around. They're down 24, and then they're tied, and then they're up, and then they're down, and then the game's over, and everybody goes home. But
yada yada yada, Coby White's game though.
We started with
Coby White was a ton of fun.
No, Connor did. You yada yada yada'd it.
Yeah, I mean, I know he can score, and I know that, like I say, if he can be a Lou Williams guy, you've got to find a way that he can fit on a good team and do that and help you win because he can't guard anybody either has no idea where to stand.
That was my next question. Can he guard anybody?
No.
Here's the thing.
No.
We do all of these caveats with 19-year-old players, with point guards specifically. He's got everything going against him in terms of showing you the advanced parts of basketball now, right? the youth that he's got. He hasn't been in an NBA weight room for all that long. If we're looking at Zion and saying, well, he's 19 years old and he's what was Rick saying? Fine on ball, but when he's off, he can make no idea what he's doing defensively.
Oh, he can learn it if they get a real coaching staff.
All that stuff
could
be learned. I'm not ready to write off Coby White as a competent NBA.
No, I like
space
him.
I'm not, ad defender.
I'm not writing him off. I just think as long as this structure is in here, I've got no let me see what the Bulls look like before next season and see what the plan is with Coby White. Who's here, who's not, who the coaches are, who the general manager is. I don't really know the meaning of anything that's going on right now other than he can score.
Right, but sure. You can scout the athleticism, and it's certainly
that hasn't changed.
There's a willingness there. I mean, listen, there are some NBA guys, NBA defenders that you look at and go, okay, he's bad because there's not a willingness to defend there. I mean, it's not all like watching Jokic in the All-Star game, not even wanting to run past the half-court line. But, you know, there's an effort that you can measure and a willingness that's pretty evident on tape and on film. I'm not willing to write him off completely when it comes to that,
Of course not. He's both quick and fast.
Yes.
Which is nice. He's somewhat slight. His arms are a little short. His release is a little low. There's things you can quibble with, but no, the guy can get his.
Okay.
He can absolutely get his.
Well, I like that. I'm a fan of that. I was not a fan of anything that happened mostly during the fourth quarter defensively for the Bulls, and I was not a fan of anything that happened before the game, which...
Well, there's a new thing that I watch for during games. When you watch them ignore Boylan... It's hilarious.
Ooh, all right. What are the X's and O's of how I should watch them ignoring Jim Boylan?
When he comes walking out onto the court after calling a timeout and talking to no one because no one makes eye contact with him, no one looks at him. Or like
Nixon wandering the White House?
Yes, you're talking to portraits.
Yeah.
But during timeouts, when guys turn their head, and even all the screaming during plays.
Screaming, right?
Oh, my God. And you could hear. Could you imagine what that would be like as an NBA player with every free throw and the coach is standing up screaming, yelling, "Bucks out! Bucks out! Shut up!" Almighty.
When you've got nothing behind it, it's really difficult to go for the – baseball is a term for that. It's eyewash. That's what that feels like. I got to imagine when you're out there on the court, when you're just hearing your coach say those familiar things, but knowing that once you get back into the huddle, once he starts designing an ATO for Adam Makoka, you're going, all right, what was all that about?
Yeah, well,
and why did I care?
What are we yelling about? I mean, it's a very special thing to watch these guys just sort of like look at each other during a timeout, like half look at him, look at the stands, and kind of be like, okay, all right, let's just get out there and do what we can do here.
Right. Well, Zach's thinking, okay, how do I get out there and work a two-man game with Coby?
Yep.
How do I play this around a little bit, and how do I make it look like Lauri Markkanen might be here instead of not be here?
And let's set the context of this stuff too before the game, because I think Boylan's got to know he's done. He has to, because if they know that Chad Buchanan or Chad whatever is going to come in and be
Chad Bro Chill,
yeah, is going to be some new voice. There's no way they're going to
Who are we talking about?
Chad Buchanan?
Oh, from yesterday.
The GM of the Pacers.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Chase?
Oh, that's
the coach
no.
that was screamy and yelly. I thought you were talking about the coach that was screamy and yelly in the G League from Milwaukee.
It looks like the lead singer of The Cure. No, that's that. What is that? That's Chase Buttinger. What's that guy's? Beaufort? Chase Beaufort?
Chauncey? Charles?
I think it's Chase Beaufort. He's Elks or whatever. Chase Buford.
He looked Wisconsin Herd.
He looked like Chris Farley when he wanted to jerk the wheel into the GD bridge embankment. That's what he looks like.
Different anymore. Different Chad Chase white guy. But that guy is not going to have Jim Boylan as his head coach. It's just there's no way. There's no way that Jim Boylan's going to coach this team next year, and he has to start realizing.
More I think about it, the more you know. When we were reading Joe Cowley's initial reports, Casey Johnson had it. An hour and a half later, something like that, and the follow up all throughout the All-Star break. I think if nothing else, new guy is brought in, whether he's Chase, Chad, Charlie, or whatever. He's being brought in so that he can fire Jim Boylan and that John Paxson and Gar Forman don't have to.
Yeah, that would be the first thing. If I'm going to be a top executive in the Bulls organization, I am not in any way having my fortunes affected by Jim Boylan coaching my team.
I don't think they expect him to. I think that guy comes in and the first thing they sit down and say is John looks at me and goes, So, how are you at a press conference where you fire a guy you barely know? Like that's A number one. That's here's how we're starting. Now, what else would you like to do? Here's something we're taking off the table from you. Because given the way Jim Boylan talked about things, given the way he's starting to, I don't know, put the tasks at hand, put his goals in front of what's on the court every night, it's just, there's no other way to look at it, man. I mean, he's dodging the very results at the end of the night and has been for months. But yesterday, he did it in a way that sounds like a guy walking out the door. That's what he did. Here's the little quick cut. Here's the money cut. We'll get to the update here. And you're going to hear a longer extended cut of this, too, because Joe Cowley and Jim Boylan had a back and forth about it as well. But here's Jim Boylan saying that, no, for him, wins and losses don't matter.
I'm not worried about my personal record or my win-loss record. I've been asked to establish a style of play, to have a disciplined approach, and develop a young group of guys. And in my opinion, we are doing that. Nobody in this organization said to me, you got to win this many games. Nobody said to me, hey, we're going to talk about wins and losses all year. Not one time have they said that to me. That doesn't mean we don't want to win, Joe. It doesn't mean we're not trying to win. But nobody said that to me.
Would you be bothered then if at the end of the season they come back to you and say, hey, Jim, we just didn't have enough wins, so we have to do something? I mean, if they come double back and use that against you, would that be surprising to you since that hasn't been emphasized?
Yes, it would. I don't foresee that happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a change in tone. That is a change in outlook, and that's a break from being conjoined with the organization. He's looking at him as something else.
Well, it also is extremely and glaringly divergent from what we heard with Michael Reinsdorf's appearance on these airwaves, and he was with Mully and Haw, and what we heard from Media Day from John Paxson, what the actions were for this year's Bulls team. That is a moved goalpost.
But they've developed the culture, though.
So developed.
Yeah,
you're right.
Boy.
So developed for you.
Wow.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Kobe!
Can we just pause here for a minute to recognize something in those Jim Boylan comments?
Absolutely. Let's pause.
Do you realize that that is a head coach in professional sports literally saying, no one told me I was supposed to win? Well, I mean, I can't be judged. No one's told me I'm supposed to. It matters how many games I win. No one told me I'm supposed to win games.
Jim, would you be upset if they used wins and losses against you? Sorry,
yes.
What?
I would be very
they keep track
surprised.
Of that stuff?
Right. Like, nobody, I at no point have I been told that I'm supposed to win games.
Wins are always good.
I thought we were all just scrimmaging.
What? At no point were you need to be explicitly told that you're supposed to win games?
You want to hear it again? You can hear it again.
Dispute you on that. You're right.
Let's hear it again. Can we? Can we hit a little shorty again?
I'm not worried about my personal record or my win-loss record. I've been asked to establish a style of play, to have a disciplined approach, and develop a young group of guys. And in my opinion, we are doing that. Nobody in this organization said to me, you got to win this many games. Nobody said to me, hey, we're going to talk about wins and losses all year. Not one time have they said that to me. That doesn't mean we don't want to win, Joe. It doesn't mean we're not trying to win. But nobody said that to me.
Would you be bothered then if at the end of the season they come back to you and say, hey, Jim, we just didn't have enough wins, so we have to do something? I mean, if they come double back and use that against you, would that be surprising to you since that hasn't been emphasized?
Yes, it would. I don't foresee that happening.
It's not your
little teacup.
It's not your personal record.
It's like he just wants to fall on the sword for things. You know what I mean? Like he's just, look at what I'm out here doing for all of you. Look at how I'm sacrificing our wins and losses for creating this culture and doing the hard work.
A style
for you.
Of play?
I don't know, man. It doesn't need to be said to an NBA head coach that you're trying to win basketball games. And it certainly doesn't need to be said that if you lose games, don't make us look like jerks while you're doing it. You don't have to say those things to an NBA head coach. That kind of goes unsaid. It's in the contract when you sign it on the line. It's tacit. Everybody has to know that. You do need to win games. And while you're losing, don't make us look like jerks.
Joe, I coach by faith.
This is whack, man.
They said that they had reasonable playoff expectations this year.
Yes, they did.
Right?
They assumed that they would go into the season fighting for a playoff spot.
Correct.
You know what? It's more than assume. They set that goal for themselves.
They said they were going to be a competitive team, and a competitive team should be contending for the playoffs. They sort of talked their way all around it. They didn't put a number on it, but they made it the playoffs a reasonable proposition.
It would be one thing if this started last night or even 2 weeks ago when you had Wendell Carter and Lauri Markkanen and Otto Porter and everybody.
But even then, they weren't any good.
Exactly. This didn't start 2 weeks ago. It didn't start 4 weeks ago. We have been doing this ever since a little bit of mutiny popped up last season. We have been doing this. He's a head coach out of his depth. And yeah, if it feels like it's easy to look at Jim Boylan and say, oh, this isn't good. This should change. Sure, that is easy.
It will.
But you know what changes in the NBA? The stuff that's easy to change. So hold them to that. There's nothing wrong with that.
This is Tony in Lake Forest on the score. Hey, Tony.
Hey, guys. Hey, first, Dan, I haven't heard any celebrity knockout soundings for tomorrow night. Or did I just miss it? Or
Richard Roper's going to be there. Marley Caden's going to be there. We're hoping to have... We usually don't know who's going to be there from Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, until they get their call sheet for that day of when they've got to be filming and depending on where they are. So we are going to have... there are going to be knockouts.
I took out Roper last time. But anyway, my point is, so you're mentioning how they're going to hire somebody who's going to essentially come in and fire Boylan. But then if Paxson and Foreman stay in position, I call that absolute chicken bleep because they're still going to be pulling the strings. And there's this general manager, vice president of operations, whatever, is just going to be doing their bidding. And it's just going to be another shield for them to hide behind as long as they're still part of the organization, don't you think? And then we're just rinse and repeating, no?
I think you're right.
I think it's a fair concern.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's an absolutely fair concern. So Jim Boylan in the pregame yesterday said it. He's not really all that concerned with wins and losses. But there's a larger conversation that took place as well, kind of around that cut. And I, you know, Dan, you mentioned it, and I hear it too. There is a change now in how it looks like the Bulls head coach sees the organization and what's been asked of him and how he's gone about achieving it. You'll hear that when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight talking a little Bulls here on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We are playing good, hard basketball.
Yes, apparently the reconstituted larynx of the ancient Egyptian pharaoh disagrees. That was not the Aztec death whistle.
No, different. Different. You know the Aztec death whistle when you hear it.
Yes.
Unmistakable.
What was the name of the pharaoh again? Do they know?
I think it was
Bob.
Yeah.
It was Bob. King Bob.
Bob from Cairo.
That's what people were saying when I did the story about the King Tut's tomb and how the ground scans have
found. Yeah, they found maybe Nefertiti.
Maybe Nefertiti. I think it's going to be that guy. Where's my larynx?
Just like hanging out in a lawn chair.
What'd you do with my larynx?
It took you guys a long time to get here.
like the knight in the Last Crusade.
Yeah. You chose poorly.
He chose poorly. I love the fact that the guy was like a comic too. It's like not only was he guarding the Holy Grail, he was like kind of archly,
right?
You know, cocking an eyebrow.
He's been alone and sharpening his wit for 700 years.
All of a sudden,
Archley Diacono.
You run into Oscar Wilde. How about that sequence? By the way, how about goes hard to the basket, gets his shot absolutely stuffed, and then it's instantly runs over and fouls the guy.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I would have bet any amount of money that I have, so like up to $5, on Daniel Gafford getting two fouls in like the first 3 minutes of the game, because Steven Adams is a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big, strong dude. Jay texted. Apparently, it's Nesayaman. It was a priest. It wasn't a pharaoh. Oh. It was a priest at the time of Ramses II.
It's a lovely name.
Yeah, Nesayaman. Nesayaman.
Right, yeah. That's just... What'd you think? All right, well, sorry to bother you. He just sort of nonplussed at the whole thing. All right, so give us some larger context.
Yeah, Joe Cowley's going to do it for us.
The beginning of the end of the Jim Boylan regime.
It really is. Like this. It sounds so much like the beginning of the end. And it's meaningful, too, because when a guy who has whatever he's had across his chest as long as he's had it and so many timeouts lodged on the lining of his heart, when he starts to change the tone, I think that's worthy of playing here. Joe Cowley, you're going to hear him ask the question. He sets up some context here, but this is Joe and Jim Boylan and other reporters during the pregame as well, setting the expectations or moving the bar of expectations.
I know you've talked about what you wanted to try establishing with this team. How much, though, do you concern yourself with the win-loss record? I mean, at the end of the day, that's what's going to go on your resume. I mean, people aren't going to say, oh, yeah, they had this guy out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this year, I mean, the win-loss record is not where it was expected to be or where you hoped it would be. How do you kind of differentiate the reality of your situation to the bottom line is it's a win-loss league?
Well, it is a win-loss league. But that's not the only thing that gets evaluated. Are we establishing a style of play? I think we have. Have we cleaned up a defense that needs to be cleaned up? I think we have. Have we established a shot profile that is top five in the league? I think we're three right now in the shots we get and compared to other teams. So those are all positive things. And then you can look at the what-ifs, which I don't do very often. But with our shot profile, what would Otto Porter do in that shot profile? He'd be pretty successful. So, and Larry Markkanen, right on down the line. So I'm not worried about my personal record or my win-loss record. I've been asked to establish a style of play, to have a disciplined approach, and develop a young group of guys. And in my opinion, we are doing that. So, case in point, you know, Kobe White's improvement, Daniel Gafford's improvement, you know, Chris Felicio's, I think, done a heck of a job for us. So, you know, play the guys you have, and you hopefully make them better.
Is that hard for you, though, because I know that you are competitive and you don't like losing?
It is hard for me, but that's not my calling. That's not what they asked me to do. Nobody in this organization said to me, you got to win this many games. Nobody said to me, hey, we're going to talk about wins and losses all year. Not one time have they said that to me. That doesn't mean we don't want to win, Joe. It doesn't mean we're not trying to win. But nobody said that to me. And I have to honor the organization with trying to do this thing the right way. And if we do that, and if we can get healthy, I feel good about it.
Would you be bothered then if at the end of the season they come back to you and say, hey, Jim, we just didn't have enough wins, so we have to do something? I mean, if they come double back and use that against you, would that be surprising to you since that hasn't been emphasized?
Yes, it would. I don't foresee that happening.
Okay, so two things right off the top. One is, when you're in a press conference and you begin the practice of asking and then answering your own questions, typically that's a sign that things aren't going so hot when you start asking and answering your own questions in a presser. And then the second thing is this. I caught it, and Joe set him up for it, and he took it, but he started delineating himself and drawing a line between they, the front office, and Jim Boylan, the head coach, and what they've asked him to do and how he's just executing their vision. For that head coach to make a distinction like that really does start to be, it starts to sound like the beginning of the end of things. I mean, it sounds like Jim saying, here are the things that I was told to get done. I did those things.
I'm doing those things. Yeah.
I need someone else to hire me now. I don't know if that's going to happen for him. I don't think so. Not as a head coach. But
well, people said that after the Utah
debacle. But it sounds
debacle.
Like he's starting to protect himself some.
It's natural to do that.
I suppose. I don't begrudge him that at all.
Well, that's why.
Guy's got a life to live. He's got a job to work.
That's why when he's been criticized in post games, his response has always been to globalize it by, in any individual action, why did you call timeout? Why did you make these substitutions? Why did you not remember the Laker game when he didn't make substitutions? I don't yank guys. That's not what I do. Everything is somehow a way to define a characteristic of his coaching rather than explaining a given decision on a given night. It's like, well, I thought that. I don't do that. Everything is in stone as a core belief. That's not how I coach. That's not what I do. Even though it's wrong, and there's any number of examples of him doing all the things he says he doesn't do and not doing the things he says he does.
Right.
All across the board, and it just makes it completely ridiculous. But a lot of that is just trying to sound legitimate. It's been this incredible quest for legitimacy.
Yeah, it really has. Whether it's listing the guys that he's coached for or with, or like you say, his list of can'ts and his list of won'ts, right? I mean, he's so happy to give you those, the things he absolutely does not do, while his players see him do those things. He sees him get yanked. And it goes against what was said at the beginning of the year in the opening press conference, right? Preseason, we were talking about wins and losses, not in terms of numbers, but in terms of where the season would end.
Our goals for the season are to make the playoffs. That's our goal for the season, is to make the playoffs. And every day to prepare like we're a playoff team. Every day to work like we're a playoff-bound team. And I'm excited for that. I think that's the only way to do it. There's no way that we were going to stand up here and say, hey, we hope we can win 10 more games, or we hope we can be better. We want to get to the mountaintop. So.
You don't operate that way. So, right?
No, I don't.
No, you don't.
Oh. Except.
Oh. You don't operate that way. So, right?
No, I don't.
No, you don't.
I don't operate that
way. No, you're right. Yo, you're thanks. No, I don't. I can't operate that way.
But what about this, Bernstein? The injuries, right? Fine. I mean, that's okay. The injuries. That hurts. You lose your entire front court
they
like that.
Were
that sucks.
Bad before the injuries.
Of course they were. And they also thought that they had added some veteran presence to back them up if injuries happened.
Our goal was to keep our young core together and add veteran skill level, toughness, leadership. And again, to John and Gar's credit, they did an unbelievable job of doing that. We wanted a roster that could be more versatile. We wanted a roster that could play the same way, even with injury, more redundant.
And I know that the injuries they've had have been so much more than even in, you know, okay, so we miss this guy a couple of games and we lose somebody big for a couple of weeks, so be it. As long as it doesn't all happen at the same time, you've got enough depth and enough vets to cover some things. I get it. You know, losing as many guys as they have for as long as they have, that's nobody plans for all of that to happen. But still, Zach pointed it out and will continue to do so, I bet. If you ask him, they were bad when everyone was healthy. Zach LaVine said that to you. And he'll do it again. Here's the other part of it. What about minutes? What about distribution? What about trying to fit Thad Young into this roster that was, he was a little bit clunky for it anyway?
He demanded a trade midseason because of it.
And Satoransky, who was, you know, a point guard, but not a point guard's point guard, perhaps. You know, you have some clunky fits. Well, was that any part of the process? But when we started signing some of these veterans, we started talking to some of these guys about their role.
In my conversations with the free agents, not one of them brought up minutes or playing time. Do we have a chance to win? Are we going to work hard? Do we have good guys? What's the character of the team, coach?
Okay. And maybe that's just interview talk. Maybe that's just, you know, everybody's had this. You sit down with the boss and you want to give the answers that they want to hear, maybe. You know,
what's the character of the team, coach?
Maybe that happens. My God, is that all kind of falling apart and hard.
Do they have bulls across to their chest, coach?
Oh, yeah. We don't operate that way. So, right?
No, I don't.
No, you don't.
Put it right across there.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. Come on. Remember when Kenny Smith was sitting with us and he talked about how different players are now and about the league and about once you're in the league, this and Boylan's whole thing about bulls across the chest and this, you know, this city and this team and this town and this. It's like, you know what? The guys want to do a job at a certain level. They don't feel it in quite that way.
Yeah. You know what I keep thinking about? I'm glad you brought up the Kenny Smith conversation we had. It's not necessary. And he put it this way too. It's not necessarily bad that the athlete has changed.
No.
You know, the guy coming up to the NBA or through Major League Baseball or whatever. It's not necessarily bad that they've changed and they want something different out of their experience. It's different. And it's hard for coaches to make a change to access that kind of want to from the athlete. That matters. To ignore that change in the athlete seems just ass backward to me. You know, this idea that you're just going to go, I'll just coach them like they did in the 70s, or I'll just coach them like I was coached in the 80s. Just to keep pounding that.
Go back and read the column.
Doesn't make much
sense. Read what was written in the Salt Lake Tribune after the whole Utah thing melted down.
We read that whole thing on the show right after the little bit of mutiny.
And read it. And it's the same stuff, the same criticism of that when the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail.
Yeah.
And when the players just had enough of it, and these were college players, and they were just transferring out. They were leaving
from Utah.
They were leaving the program because there wasn't any nuance. It was all screaming. It was all go harder. It was all small college strength and conditioning coach stuff. And to think that it already didn't work at the Division I college level.
Almost 15 years ago.
Almost
right?
15 years ago. And that it didn't work. Gordon Munson was the guy who wrote the column, I believe. And if you go back, it's like De Gaulle's letter to Kennedy about involvement in Vietnam. Right? After
that's dark.
You know, it is.
That's so dark.
When the French, it's amazing, is when the French left Vietnam, Charles de Gaulle wrote a letter to John F. Kennedy and said, look, if you're taking this over, here's what's going to happen to you. And this was our experience in occupation and empire building, trying to stave off a commune, however you want to phrase it. This will be your experience too. And it was until the helicopters left Hanoi. It was, I mean, like up to like he said, that is exactly how this reads when you read about the Jim Boylan head coaching experience at Utah. It was just
what is French for you're screwed.
Right? I mean, it's just like, this is, it's not going to go well for you. Here's why. And it's just, this was the Bulls experience. And that's why you got to believe with the way we're starting to hear it now. It sounded like a sea change yesterday.
It did.
And understanding that the organization is leaking to important people. It's like, yeah, we're going to remake the front office and John Paxson's moving here and we're going to bring in some other guy to do thing.
Chad Brochill. Yeah. Come on through.
Chad Brochill. That this is not going to... Have we already given a derisive nickname to a guy the Bulls haven't even hired yet?
I don't
yet?
Know. Not if he's cool. I give Chad Brochill a chance. Just because he's got his polo tucked into his Dockers and his collar pop doesn't necessarily mean that he's a bad guy. You got to give him a chance.
So Chad Buchanan.
Maybe he's got a GameCube he can bring over. We can all hang out, play Mario Kart or something.
He's now officially Chad Brochill. I think you've done it there. I think we're really working ahead of the game here.
I'm just saying.
But that guy's not going to have Jim Boylan as his head coach.
No, regardless of who he is, I don't think that's happening. No, we're going to have Mike Florio next. We're going to talk a little football. We're going to find out what he thought mattered from Ryan Pace's press conference, from Matt Nagy's press conference. Maybe it was a lot. Maybe it was a little. You'll find out with us next. Bernstein McKnight on the Score.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.